call to order the September 13th, 2016, 7 p.m. meeting of the Terry Township Board of Supervisors. If everyone could please rise to the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Joe, may I please have a roll call?
Member Matt Weir.
Here.
Member Susan Court.
Here.
Member John Foley.
Here.
Chairman Mark Moyer.
Here.
And Member Justin Engel.
He is here. He's in the studio. I'd like to announce that all public sessions of the Township of Derry Board Supervisors are recorded for the purpose of creating accurate minutes. Speakers are asked to limit their comments to 3 minutes or less at the appropriate time. I also want to inform those members of the audience that the board met an executive session prior to tonight's meeting to discuss land issues. At this time, I would like to invite visitor and public comments and ask that anyone who wishes to address the board supervisors please approach the podium, identify themselves by name and address, and if you'd be so kind as to limit your comments to 3 minutes or less, it would be greatly appreciated. Sir?
Do you say you're not allowed to talk about a land issue at this meeting?
No, I didn't say that, sir. I was just describing what we met in the second session about.
I thought we're coming away from all of that. You know where I'm at. And the township is a great township. I wouldn't want to go anywhere else because I gave her 46 years of my life. I like the township. I'm getting a different story. I have had a problem with a water issue from the neighbors. It was her dad, Lee Smith. And they're not, they're both gone and they're fighting over the land. They're bragging that they got $13 million out of the studio. They said they could afford to put a rain. You're talking about this rain tax and what you're worried about the rain issues, you know. Well, I had the state there and the federal, and he was out too, and he knows. They said I did a good job. And apparently about this 11, you know, when they had that flood. Well, I must have done the job right because I was just kidding him. I said I didn't have a drop of water in my house and shop and the way it was designed. So I must have did it right. And now they want to tax you on this here rain issue, but I'm concerned about, I can show you these pictures here about that, how the water is coming across my property from that farm that she owns.
And that's across the road with your driveway there?
Yeah. And that is not called for, because that pond that I have in there is not a pond, that's to catch that swamp. Because like right now, I have that open because it would rain a lot, then I quick close and hold it back. And you know what the state, a federal guy told me, he said, if I had anybody like you, he said, we wouldn't have no problem with water. That's what he told me. So I want to know why they can't go to her and say, wouldn't it be proper to put in a water basin there in her land to catch that? Because now I heard they're going to sell October 22nd, 3 tracts, the wood land, the house of barn, and that. Because the small parts of wood land we're going to buy because that's locked in. I'll take that out for $3,000 for what it's worth. I said, okay, you go to public sale, see what you get. But I'm concerned about this. Because if I die, the boy will be here for tomorrow. This here should not be called for. Why can't somebody say to her, look, now you know there's an issue here. Why don't they put a water basin? What happened with me? I was too mean. I lived there all these years. And then I'd go to Lee and he'd say, every 5 years, and he'd say, oh, I'm going to do it for you. Well, they're all gone, dead and gone, and I'm almost 80. And I want to see it done before I die. And I don't think there's no wrong in that.
Yes, sir. Chuck, I think you and Mr. Moyer had conversations about this particular issue.
Mm-hmm.
I encourage continuing dialogue and maybe we can get an update on what the status is on that, those discussions.
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. I can just give you a little bit of quick background because Larry and I talked a little bit before the meeting tonight. The picture that he showed you is from Tropical Storm Lee.
Right.
So that was a pretty catastrophic storm through here. I explained, Larry, tonight that so far as the township's concerned, our ordinances don't have any teeth to cause improvements to be made when there's no stormwater improvements to be made when there's no new impervious area being put down.
Right.
So,
okay.
But yeah, happy to continue conversation.
Okay. And thank you, Chuck. I appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Moyer, for coming in.
So you're saying it's okay that she can run that water off her land on mine, and I'm responsible for that, and you guys are saying how bad it is in Spring Creek. This is the kind of issues that are making Spring Creek bad. You can see that.
Yes, sir.
And I can't prevent all that problem to stop us if nobody helps me.
I understand, sir. And I don't know what else to say other than Chuck, if you could continue dialogue with him, I'm sure Chuck gave you sound information in terms of our ability as, by law, in terms of zoning and enforceability on that.
Well, I don't
know whether you have other legal recourse of some sort.
Well, I'm not going to spend a lawyer to make her do it. But I think if she develops that property or wants to build a house on it, then there ought to be some changes.
There may be some implications associated with impervious coverage creation there. And that, of course, I think Chuck would be able to advise you on what sort of implications that would have on improvements on that property. Okay. All right. Anyone else? Hearing none, we will move on to the approval of meeting minutes from the public hearing of August 23rd, 2016. Do I have a motion to approve those meeting minutes?
So moved.
Second. Moved by Ms. Court, second by Mr. Foley. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, August 23rd, 2016 public hearing minutes are approved. Do I have a motion for the Board of Supervisors meeting of that same date, August 23rd, 2016.
Moved
by Mr. Ware. Seconded by Mr. Engel. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And those minutes are approved unanimously. And the public meeting of August 29th, 2016. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Foley. Seconded by Ms. Cork. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And those minutes are approved unanimously. Which brings us to item A1 through 18, the preliminary final subdivision and land development plan for the Mescalis property, plat number 1269. Mr. Emmer.
Thank you, Chairman. This property is located in the multifamily residential zoning district of Derry Township. It's located along Middletown Road, just southwest of Grove Street. The plan represents a combination of two existing lots. Shown here, this is the Backus lot that has the longer shape, and then the Mescalis property is the remainder of the property there. The plan represents the demolition of the house that's on the Backus property and the creation of 32 new dwelling units in a condominium style. The applicant is proposing to use garage parking to address a portion of parking requirements, and along with that, they'll have 17 surplus spaces on the site, surplus to our code, to allow for parties and other uses of garages and the like. This development will create approximately 310 new daily trips on Middletown Road. There wasn't necessarily a traffic study done with this, but they did do a speed study. But the speed study showed that the average weekday trip on Middletown Road is about 16,336 by their information. And that these 310 new trips will equate about a 1.9% increase in the overall daily traffic. The project itself, the creation of the multifamily units, is compliant with the zoning ordinance, and it's compliant also with both our previous and current comprehensive plan. The stormwater management for the project will utilize two basins on the property. One basin towards the front of the property, one basin towards the rear of the property. Some of the stormwater will actually bypass the basins. It's a function of what they're able to capture and what they're able to pass through. So they're trading off some that they would ultimately be able to pass through and capturing others that they can. So the stormwater is compliant with their regulations and has been technically approved by HRG. Many of the developments along Middletown Road have accessed a signalized intersection in the past. Things have been going on. In this case, the developer has proposed two private roads. As a result of some sketch plan discussion, the northern private road is going to be a one-way in to avoid conflicts on Middletown Road and too many turns, too many actions. Then the lower driveway will be a full access driveway. That meets our obligation to have two accesses when we create more than 10 units on a property, and I think it's just a good design overall for the conditions on Middletown Road. As I said, the developer didn't do a traffic study, but consistent with what other developers have done along this corridor, they have offered to pay a $641 a unit fee in lieu of traffic study to help with improvements along Middletown Road. The drainage that comes down through this property, if you look to the north side, you'll see that Hanover Engineers did define a 100-year floodplain for the swale that comes down through. And if you're familiar, that's really a almost always dry drainage ditch on the east side of Middletown Road next to the gazebo on the bike trail that then comes through the side of the property. That actually drains about 217 acres of land. There's a lot of water down through there when it does rain, but when it's not raining, it's a dry bed. There's been some channel erosion in this portion of the channel when the water gets backed up here on the trailhead side. It starts to erode away. I do have concern with some of the point discharges going in from the new stormwater system. Whereas you know, previously this would have been more of a sheet flow condition through there, and have talked to the developer, and they are willing to do some coordination with the township, hopefully to help to in some way assist, whether it's permitting under their permit or in some way assist with us getting that stabilized on the west side of the road. The township holds an easement that you've seen that runs a length across there. And as part of that easement, we do have an obligation to keep that stable. There is no land for park and rec as part of this development. They would have been required to reserve 1.116 acres. In lieu of that parkland, and assuming that the supervisor is willing to accept the fee in lieu of parkland, the fee would be approximately $40,700. Sidewalks and pedestrian ways are not proposed as part of this development for a couple of reasons. One is we would have a gap for the stone house that's located along Middletown Road. For another, we know that we don't want to encourage people to, you know, from all of the studies that we've done as a township, we know that we don't want to try and encourage people to cross at the trailhead. We're trying to get people to come further south to a better crossing. What the developer has proposed to do is tie their internal sidewalk system into the system that goes through Hershey. So there will be trail access. They'll be able to connect into the rest of our trail. I'm suggesting as part of the waivers that the township in this case accept the fee in lieu of and permanently waive sidewalks for this property. The fee in lieu of that they've calculated based on means cost estimate, the nationwide cost estimate, would be just shy of $5,000, which could be applied certainly to the project that we're proposing right now in this neighborhood. They've asked for a series of waivers. For this, they've asked for a waiver from providing additional street width, which is reasonable. It's a state road. They're recommending that that be granted. They've asked for the waiver of the sidewalks, which just gone through. They've asked for a waiver of having two full street connections to public streets. As I explained, one of the driveways are one-way in. The ordinance suggests maybe that the driveways are two-way, so we'd be granting a waiver to have one of the driveways the only one-way, which I think, again, is a real good idea to help with the traffic issues on Middletown Road. They've asked for a waiver of drainage width easement along this side of the property. The setback is 12 feet. That's what they're proposing for their drainage easement. The normal drainage easement is 20 feet. They, in essence, have rainwater conduit in there, not substantial pipes, and somewhat of a swale. I think that it should be maintained through the 12-foot easement, so we're recommending that that be granted. So in the end, staff is recommending that the plan be approved contingent upon the applicant reimbursing the township for costs incurred by October 13th, and that the following items are addressed by March 13th of 2017. That the performance security is provided and guaranteed the completion of the required improvements, and that the agreement that accompanies that is signed. That the applicant provide a letter of intent regarding the $641 a unit traffic impact fee that is typically paid in time of permit for each building. That the applicant provides a traffic study necessary for the enforcement of the runway design, one-way sign on the street, and that's not yet in our hands, so that the police can enforce traffic only coming into the site, not leaving. That the applicant provides deeds and dedication for the additional right-of-way along Middletown Road, that the applicant provide a copy of the draft deed conveying properties together for review by the township, that the fee in lieu of open space dedication is provided, that the applicant pays the fee in lieu of sidewalk, and that the applicant addresses all the outstanding comments in the September 8, 2016 HRG letter and September 8, 2016 DTMA letter, none of which are of great consequence. And finally, that the deed of dedication for the additional right-of-way from Middletown Road is recorded concurrently with the plan, that the stormwater DMP operation maintenance agreement is recorded concurrently with the plan, and that the deed consolidating the two lots and listing the stormwater DMPs is also recorded concurrently with the plan. With that, the applicant and their engineer is here. So I'm happy to answer questions or if there's questions in the applicant.
Any questions for Ms. Prather?
Yes, I have a question. This is a great opportunity with that white cell. Compromise stream beds, dry stream beds. Is there any best management practices to improve what's happening there at that 100-year flood limit? The 100-year flood limit. Any improvement in that area?
Looks like Randy's going to field that question.
I won't let Lee Chuck hanging out there. Randy Wright, Hanover Engineering. As far as stormwater goes, currently I think I'm correct in saying that everything from this property flows to the north into that swale area and then heads to the west. With your stormwater management ordinance, the vast majority of our site is collected in the two basins that Chuck described, which are, I'm going to describe those as rain gardens. They are infiltration basins, so most of the water coming from our site will have a chance to infiltrate into the ground first before it discharges into that swale area. So I think as far as what we can control, we have eliminated most, all if not most, of the water coming from this particular property down into that swale area. Obviously, east of there, up into the farm field, the area that contributes the most to that swale, we don't have any control over. But as far as what we can control, I think we try to get as much back into the ground and off of the surface as we can.
Now, the close proximity isn't exactly the case. area. So you're actually going to infiltrate all that water into that area?
Yes, we did the normal percolation studies and what have you, and our design actually responds to the fact that it is a karst geology. So our, this is pretty technical, our loading ratio, which kind of spreads the water out, is greater in this area than other areas of the township. So I think we've addressed, you know, our design has addressed the fact that we know it's a carcinogenic.
Sir, I know that I believe the property owners to the north of this have expressed some concerns about stormwater management and the Grove Street water issues associated with that inlet there. I don't know if you want to address that or Chuck wants to address that. Is there something going on by way of, because I mean, we had a death across the street based on a collapsed house due to flooding not too long ago. Is there something going on across the street that could impact or vice versa?
So we actually had two homes collapse along Grove Street during Tropical Storm Lee. The water, I believe, backed up in the swale.
Right.
And stayed, well, actually, I think we were backed up and laying there because there was no place for it to go. And I think that it oversaturated the basement. That's probably why they collapsed. This swale itself is really kind of an anomaly. It's kind of an odd area. As I said, most of the time it's dry. When it does rain, it drains a large area. When it comes across the road, it rips. I mean, you can tell that that area has been repaired a few times over the year by different types of concrete and ripping things that are in there. Once the water leaves through that channel and comes into this area, Matt Bonanno and I walked it. Randy walked it. Matt, I don't think you were with us on that.
No.
But it turns into a tree grove where you can't even find the thread of the stream. And so it goes into a really open sheet flow area, and then as it starts to come out this other side, it starts to channelize again. So it's really an odd area. But the owner, Schwartz, the owner here, is really concerned about the erosion, right?
Correct. That's his primary concern.
And because that soil is erodible, and because of, as I said, some of the point discharge, you can see we're bringing a pipe straight down into this area that today is more of a grove. And a pipe straight down into this area. You know, I'm concerned that if we don't do something to knock down the velocity back here, where it is eroding, as that water joins with the other eroding, with the other water that's now concentrated, there's going to be more erosion. I think that's why Tom's willing to work with us to try and do some mitigation up at this front end.
My big concern is that are there going to be any improvements with respect to the drainage across from Grove Street, because that invariably will feed into this particular property, and then this particular property could potentially exacerbate problems with erosion on the western side of Middletown Road.
That's correct. They're of course not contributing anything to the eastern side, so it's harder to ask them to.
Well, I'm not asking them to do that, and I'm not considering. But the fact of the matter is, that water will then make its way to this particular property, or
portions of it. Yeah.
Portions of it. And my concern is that the surface coverage here and the stormwater management on this property, when combined with the water that's heading westward onto this property, will create a very tenuous situation, primarily in terms of erosion, in an area that is already prone to that.
Thanks. I have the same concerns. That's why we're hoping to not do something up in this area with larger riprap to really take the velocity out, so that if the other water is added, that it's done in a modest, moderate way.
Is there anything in this proposal here that addresses that, definitively addresses that?
There is not. If you wanted to add as a condition to approval that there is a memorandum of understanding done between the developer and the township to help mitigate this.
I really think that's necessary, because that has been a problem and an issue that existed for quite some time and could be just simply exacerbated, worsened by this particular project. Stormwater in this area is of immense concern to pretty much everybody, as history bears out. And I I want to make absolutely sure that everybody on this board has a solid level of comfort on stormwater management issues associated with this property and water that goes by this property. And I want to make sure that any plan definitively addresses that.
I know they talk to Tom, and I guess I didn't ever actually talk directly to you. I was going through Randy, so maybe I should let Randy speak to this.
Well, I was going to add, one of the best things we have done is the flow that comes from the east, we have treated almost like a stream. We keep talking about the 100-year storm and the 100-year floodplain. It's not really a floodplain, but we have studied it as such. So all of our grading, all of our disturbance is outside of that 100-year flow area. So the dissipation of the flow that Chuck talked about, the trees in that area are all going to remain to help slow down and calm down the waters that come across. Chuck did point out it is interesting that there's erosion at the upper end. That usually doesn't disappear as the flow goes downstream. In this case, it does. So we're hoping that the preservation of some of those areas helps to continue that condition. With that said, I think Mr. DeNonatis and the township are both willing to continue to talk and do a memo, or whatever, to try to make some improvement at that culvert discharge. But we do feel, too, that the removal of some of the trees, though it doesn't sound good, may encourage a little more growth. Right now it's wooded enough that really all you see is silt and rocks and, you know, there's no vegetation to help with that stabilization growing at all.
Yeah, hope springs eternal. I appreciate that, and I appreciate your understanding of our concern in terms of just the horrible situations that have occurred in and around that area from stormwater. So I personally would like to see some sort of a memorandum of understanding with your watchful oversight, Chuck, to make sure that we have the level of comfort that we need there on this project in that area. That would be greatly appreciated. Traffic. How many units are anticipated to be built on this particular parcel?
So today there's one existing. They're going to tear that down and build 32 new. So looking at traffic, looking at a dwelling unit generally producing 10 trips a day, and accounting for the one unit that's there, it would be about 310 new daily trips, generally speaking.
And PennDOT's okay with that, the entrance and departure on the Middletown Road.
Where are you permitting?
PennDOT, PennDOT permits have been, the application has been submitted. We've been through two rounds of revisions. We understand that they have checked site distance. That was our concern right from the get-go.
Right.
In fact, your planning commission kind of asked us to do the speed study, because posted 35, everyone knows most people don't do 35 in Middletown Road. We were pleased to find out that in the low 40s to 45 miles per hour, we still had flight distance at both of the proposed entrances, and PennDOT has confirmed that. We do not have a permit in hand yet, but we're far enough in their process that we can confirm that, in fact, flight distance has been checked by PennDOT.
Okay. Absent site distance, do you anticipate any PennDOT issues associated with entrance and exit from that? Because I know it's right around there. I know that road looks a lot more straight than in real life.
You're right. When you stand there, there's more of a curve to Middletown Road than all the maps show.
You bet.
I understand.
So, and I'm just wondering whether you envision any problems with the occupancy permit associated with that, other than the speed.
Right. No, at this point, we do not foresee any problem.
Okay. The width of the roads that are anticipated, when we have private roads, which traditionally are frowned upon by the township in terms of our existing zoning, and narrowing of roads, we've repeatedly expressed concerns about the ability for emergency vehicles to gain access to particular parcels, and particularly in that we're now anticipating having 32 units in that area. What can you tell me about your level of, what's your ability to give us a level of assurance in terms of emergency vehicles being able to get in and freely operate unimpeded in that development?
I actually recall that the I'm going to call the center line geometry, the curves and the tangents of the driveway, especially on the northern end, the one way, are of the radiuses that I think comply with your ordinance. So the turn there. Remember to use it. Here we go. The configuration of this one-way street, we believe, is in general compliance with the tightness of curve and what have you. And Chuck, I don't remember off the top of my head, that one-way street is probably 15 foot wide.
12. It's minimum 12 required by ordinance.
Yeah. But it's half the lane that we feel for, you know, for an emergency vehicle to come in there. There's plenty of room, probably not on the grading plan. And configuration, the only remaining turn would be internally at that 90 degree bend in. Chuck used the term private streets. These are really more like a parking lot, like access drives.
It has one way in.
One way in on this, on the northern drive.
Northern drive?
Yes.
Okay.
The southern drive is both in and out.
Right.
And that is 12 foot wide there, probably 24 on the lower until we get to get back to where the parking would back then we go to 25.
Right. So I'm fairly comfortable with the width that we have and the accommodation of emergency vehicles.
And heading south, PennDOT thinks it's safe for a car to slow down in order to make a right-hand turn into that one lane and not get rear-ended by oncoming traffic heading southbound.
And it's out there turning into here.
Yeah. And they don't see a concern with people getting rear-ended on that.
We have not heard a concern from them about that yet.
There's another question go ahead.
Chuck, what's the nature of that right of way to the north of the property up there? What's the story of
this? Yeah. So the township did a couple things out in this section. They obtained easement for the trailhead.
Yeah.
They obtained easement for stormwater. I'm going to guess that PennDOT probably mandated that. It was long ago. On this side, they also obtained this rather large easement for stormwater on the western side. Part of having obtained that easement, there's a clause in that the township is responsible for, you know, maintaining this in a decent shape. Okay. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
It was drainage. When they widened Middletown Road, they added another pipe. A larger pipe crossing. There was a study done actually by the township engineer long ago to size that pipe. When the pipe was put in, the easement was gained.
Right. I hate to say this, but it looks like a pretty logical connection to the trail.
Sure.
The Grove Street,
yes.
Across there, and now that we have a speed study, saying that cars aren't going faster than 40 miles an hour, and it's safe for cars to be pulling in and out of the driveway and the one way, going into the one way driveway. And it seems to be such a logical connection just to go along the 100 year flood line and come out to.
Believe me, I know when all the townships have been through this, and I still think that the crossing that we're pursuing now, which will be signalized, will turn out to be a safer crossing in the end for traffic on Middletown Road, which so much of it is probably not even local traffic. It's, you know, depending on the time of year, local traffic that's accustomed to the road. I think for how Middletown Road is driven, it's best to get people, pedestrians across at a signal if we can. So I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I think we're still moving in the right direction with the crossing.
And we are going to have a traffic study come out soon, aren't we?
Yes.
On Middletown Road?
Yes.
Is there any possibility that the results of the traffic study could impact on this particular project?
There's typically recommendations in a traffic report. I know one of the things that we're concerned with on Middletown Road is access management, and that's, you know, reducing the number of driveways and things of that sort. And that's actually
been implemented here, in that we've asked and the developer has provided a one-way in. We want to make sure that it's enforceable through our police department so that we don't have a lot of conflicts, traffic backing up here. Now the other unit, although 310 trips sounds like a lot, that's over a 24-hour period.
Right.
Peak hour trips, Brandon and I were talking, I think we know the rule of thumb for peak hour out of a single family.
I would use 10%.
I was going to say maybe like 1.2. So we'd be talking 32 peak hour trips.
Okay.
That's really not that much.
Who owns this property?
Is it still under sales agreement?
It's still under agreement right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so Tom has equitable ownership. A gentleman named Backus owns the tract that's to the north, and Miscalis owns the larger tract. So if we look at these.
And if we condition approval on this on the entering into what was that agreement?
Memorandum
of understanding. Is it possible to move forward with this evening contingent on that? Or
I would think so.
Is that something that needs to be memorialized in the actual?
It would be a condition. And I don't, you know, Tom may be able to provide in kind labor at a good rate when he's mobilized, when he has a contractor mobilized on the property to dump some riprap in here. I think Randy's already run the numbers to generate the engineering. By the way, Randy's also gone through a lot of steps to get this determined to not be a stream, so some higher level permitting is not necessary.
Right. Well, we're certainly dependent on you and deferring to your expertise in the acceptability of the terms of that memorandum of understanding. And so any sort of amendment to this would be approval of this would be conditioned upon a memorandum of understanding acceptable to both parties.
So at the end of the day, we're really talking about what kind of financial contribution, whether it's work in kind or direct cash, one person is willing to give and one person is willing to receive. Just so the board's aware, this development is generating $5,000 in sidewalk construction. It's generating $641 a unit in traffic impact fees.
And $40,000 in lieu of.
$40,700 in lieu of. So as you think about what that number might be, I suggest being kind. But, you know, a lot of what they've done so far, in-kind work in determining the elevation, you know, what type of stream it is or isn't, has been helpful and has a value.
Yeah. I appreciate the money. I do. But we have significant concerns out of Middletown Road, which everybody's abundantly aware of, both in terms of traffic and stormwater and everything else that goes along with it. So we need to do the right thing here, safety-wise, and that's my primary concern. So
we have full faith in your staff to come up with a memo of understanding.
Okay.
But it seems like we're kind of leaving it wide open. What is? I mean, what are we asking?
Yeah. Well, that's I'm trying to attach a dollar value tonight because the rest of it then becomes really easy. I don't know if the developer is willing to offer something up. Like I said, at the end of the day, we're talking about what kind of contribution is he willing to make to you know, hopefully alleviate downstream problems that may be caused by tree removal, that may be caused by concentration of stormwater. And that's kind of, I mean, at the end of the day, we're talking about a dollar amount. Somebody has another way to look at it.
What's the timeline on your PennDOT approval?
Timeline?
Yeah, in terms of when do you anticipate getting the green light from them? In terms of
matter of fact, we've had one or two phone calls with them this week, so I would hope in another 2 weeks at the most, we would have that permit in hand.
Would it make sense for you to talk to Chuck about some of the details on that memorandum of understanding and perhaps resubmit this on the agenda?
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
Why don't you approve this subject to an acceptable memorandum of understanding of the Board of Supervisors?
Well, that's what I was going to do.
But I'd rather bring the whole issue back.
Right, right. Okay.
Just bring the memo back.
Just bring the memo back.
Yeah, right.
Chuck doesn't take the sole responsibility
right.
for accepting something that maybe the Board said that wasn't enough.
Right.
I'm sure it will work it out.
Yeah. Okay.
You brought up about the traffic study on the town road.
Yeah.
Should we have some more information about that?
That was my concern. I don't know definitively what that report is going to say or recommend, but it is just going to be recommendations, right? I mean,
I think the level report that's being done, yes, I think it's going to be recommendations.
And Chuck, talk to us about the timing of that. I mean, that report is going to come out, but. This plan is in front of us right now.
That's correct. And like I said, it will be recommendations. I think, you know, this development is in every other way in compliance with our existing regulations. With the exception of a few waivers, and one of the waivers, which is allowing a one-way road instead of a two-way road, is actually beneficial to the traffic on Middletown Road. So by our present code, this is an approval.
So the point is, once that report does come out, we can consider it could be months before we make ordinance changes that would affect future land development.
That's correct. And some of the things that are in our draft zoning ordinance right now address access management on Middletown Road, and this in some ways complies. In one way, it doesn't. We would want the offset between Grove Street and that driveway to be. Don't hold me to this, but I believe it's 150 feet. Draft ordinance, I don't have a committed memory. Or directly lined up. And of course, you can see that that's difficult to do. And we'd probably be writing a waiver of that anyway. They push that driveway as far away from Grove Street to avoid the conflict. We don't today in our regulations have a required separation from a driveway to a street.
So. That being said, however, Grove Street is a dead end. I mean, it's not like it's a through street.
That's why this plan has progressed so nicely, right. Because right. We've done everything we can to do it intelligently.
And if I heard you correctly, the information on the number of trips is, for lack of a better term, just negligible based on the count that's already existing. Okay.
Do you ever have plans to increase the 641 for inflation?
We certainly could. That fee in lieu of traffic study is a offered by the developer. Now, any developer that's done work in Mountjoy Township, John.
Yeah, I've experienced.
would see that fee could be tens of thousands of dollars if we did the studies that were necessary. As a matter of fact, we did the studies that were necessary to collect a traffic impact fee. Some developments just simply would not happen.
Yeah, and I mean, I recognize it's a request that the developer has to agree to it, and this doesn't affect this plan, but
right.
That 641 number's been around for a long time.
It has been, about 10 years. Next time I'll take a look at CBI.
Well, if somebody wants to make a motion.
One more question about the sidewalks, Chuck. Is there ever a possibility to have a straight sidewalk along Middletown Road through the center property there that's not being worked on along the wall?
Along the wall is the key part there. That's kind of what I'm trying to zoom into now. So we have a rather historic home that I think Scal has lived in for a while, so I assume it's in relatively decent. Although I don't know, I've never been in it. We have a historic wall along Middletown Road, and we have land on the east side of Middletown Road that's today zoned for commercial development. I would think that if we would have a sidewalk along Middletown Road, it would favor the east side and we try and leave the historic pieces, the few that are left, there. That's my opinion. I think it made more sense to if we were going to do a connected system, to bring it up through the homes.
A little better off with the fee in lieu of rather than...
We're going to end up with the fee in lieu of. That means if at some future point we do decide that it was a good idea to put straight sidewalk along here, that's on our dock.
Anybody wish to make a motion on the approval of this?
I'll make the motion.
Moved by Mr. Engel.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Foley. And the motion is subject to a approval of a mutually acceptable
memorandum
of understanding. And the conditions mentioned by Mr. Emmerich. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Of those opposed, and one abstention by myself. Otherwise, it approves. It's approved 4-0-1. So,
all right. We appreciate your support. We'll look forward to continuing working with Chuck and his staff.
Thanks. Turning to new business B1-3. Consideration of the release of the remaining balance of the performance security provided for the preliminary final land development plan for the Pennsylvania State Police Historical Education and Memorial Center, plat number 1241. Mr. Emmerich, is this housekeeping measure?
It is.
So moved. Moved by Mr. Foley.
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Court. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And that motion carries unanimously. C1-4 is consideration of the release of a portion of the performance security for the preliminary and final land development plan for Pennsylvania State University, Milton and Pershing Mental Center, University Technology Center, Healing Garden Infill, and Original Hospital Courtyard Infill, plat number 1243. Mr. Emmerich, is this also housekeeping?
It is. You did a beautiful job.
So moved. Moved by Mr. Foley.
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Court. All those in favor? Say aye. Those opposed, and that consideration of the release is approved unanimously. Items D1-17, approval of resolution 1483, an execution of a sidewalk maintenance agreement between the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation and Derry Township for Park Avenue over the Spring Creek Bridge, State Route 0743. Mr. Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Resolution 1483. Is accepting the sidewalk maintenance agreement with the Department of Transportation for the bridge replacement project over the creek on Park Avenue. This is needed in order to keep that project moving forward. The solicitor did review this. The maintenance agreement places the maintenance responsibility for the sidewalks on the township. However, the township by ordinance has the ability to place that responsibility with the adjacent property owner.
Any questions for Tom?
So moved.
Well, I haven't made the motion yet, sir. So,
I understand.
I have a second over here.
Okay, so Mr. Foley is moving that the Board adopt Resolution 1483 and authorize the staff to execute the year-round maintenance of the sidewalk as proposed in the Sidewalk Maintenance Agreement number 08A550 between the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation and the Township of Derry. Do we have a second? Seconded by Mr. Ware. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And that motion carries unanimously. Item E1, request to close North Hockersville Road, State Route 2011 from Old West Chocolate Avenue to Hershey Park Drive from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday, November 5th, 2016 for the PIAA State Cross Country Championship being held on the grounds of the Hershey Entertainment Complex. Chief?
Mr. Chairman, this is one of the requests that we have in the complexity of the race in order to ensure the safety of runners and spectators and motorists alike. They're requesting to close the roadway to ensure that safety.
Thank you. Any questions? Do I have a motion that the request to close North Ockersville Road, State Route 2011 from Old West Chocolate Avenue to Hershey Park Drive from 0600 to 1600 hours or 4 p.m. on Saturday, November 5th, 2016 for the PIAA State Cross Country Championships being held on the grounds of the Hershey Entertainment Complex be approved.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Foley. I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
And those opposed? And that motion carries unanimously. Item number F1, request to close North Ockersville Road, same route, 2011 from Old West Chocolate Avenue to Hershey Park Drive from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday, November 12, 2016 for the National Intercollegiate Running Club Association Cross Country Championships being held on the grounds of the Hershey Entertainment Complex. Chief.
Mr. Chairman, apparently the cross country course over here is quite the course. If there are any questions, Jason White from PHA5 here tonight. This is a similar request. We're just trying to ensure the safety of the runners and spectators in the area.
Very well. I'll make the motion to close North Ockersville Road on State Route 2011 from Old West Chocolate Avenue to Hershey Park Drive from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, November 12, 2016 for the National Intercollegiate Running Club Association Cross Country Championships being held on the grounds of the Hershey Entertainment Complex. Do I have a second?
Second
by Mr. Foley. All those in favor?
Aye.
And those opposed? And that motion carries unanimously. Item G, 1 through 4, authorization for the Hershey Winter Arts and Craft Show banners to be displayed along Homestead Road, Governor Road, Cocoa Avenue, and Hershey Park Drive. Chuck.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Banners for civic events need approval by the Board of Supervisors. I was provided with a copy of last year's banner. Don't write down the date because that date is not correct. That's basically what the banners look like for the Hershey Winter Arts and Craft Show. And the locations are shown on the maps that are attached to the agenda item. We're looking at putting the banner out in four locations. Sorry, I'm trying not to have it on that light. Because this is an annual event, I'm suggesting that the Board of Supervisors approve this tonight and forever, so long as they are doing the same style banner in the same locations.
And I understand that the proposal is for 30 days prior to the event, provided they're removed within 3 days of the event, correct?
Thank you, yes.
Okay, and I will make a motion that we grant authorization for the Hershey Winter Arts and Craft Show banners to be displayed along Homestead Road, Governor Road, Cocoa Avenue, and Hershey Park Drive for 30 days prior to each annual event, provided the banners are removed within 3 days after the event. Okay. Seconded by Ms. Cork. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed, and that motion carries unanimously. I'd like to invite members of the board to share their correspondence and board and committee information at this time, starting with Ms. Cork. Matt?
Yes, on Monday, August 29th, the DTMA met and approved the stormwater fee of $6.50 per residential unit of 38.
Thank you. Justin, I have nothing.
No.
Okay. And if we could go around, Chief, reports. Tom?
Just that you'll soon see Waring going down the traffic being switched over onto New Park Boulevard this next couple of weeks.
Okay, thank you.
Have you done anything with the driveway across the street there to dedicate that? We talked last meeting. Next to American Water.
And someone was going to talk to, I'm not sure who was going to talk to them. Jeff, do you recall?
I was looking ahead to my staff comments.
Fairview down there.
Clearview?
Fairview Lane, just up the hill to that, where that house is being renovated for a commercial business.
Oh, for vacation of the right of way.
Correct. Where do we need that?
With me looking into that.
Okay.
And guess what?
Was there on the list?
No.
That's right. Barbara.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On September 25th, day four of the next board meeting, Jay Paterno will be at the library for a presentation on that Sunday afternoon. I want to make sure that was known publicly and then we get that out to the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Terry?
I have nothing to say, thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
Just wanted to quickly thank the Public Works Department for all their assistance in this past week of preparing the site of the new Cocoa Castle Playground. Contractor will be on site this Monday to begin that process.
Thank you. Mr. Moyer.
We only have one item. It's on the Locust Avenue project. We're currently installing supplemental pipe along the Crest Road and Locust Avenue.
Estimated date of completion?
I don't know off the top of my head, but I can get you a code tomorrow.
That would be great. Thank you very much. Chuck?
Thank you. We need to schedule two public hearings. One is for the new zoning ordinance. I'd like to schedule that for October 25th of 2016. I'd like to start that at 5:30. Any objections? The other is for Ordinance 682, which will define signs and attraction branding. Has to do with some efforts for the new Hirsch Park ride. I'd like to schedule that for November 7th at 6 p.m.
So do it.
Thank you.
Excellent. Anything else?
That's all I have.
Okay. Laura?
I have nothing with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jill.
I also have nothing. Thanks.
Jeff? Okay. I'll make a motion to approve accounts payable in the amount of $537,564.63 and two payrolls in the aggregate amount of $683,541.59. Is that correct? That's aggregate amount for the payrolls?
Yes.
Jim?
Sorry.
Is there
two payrolls?
Yes, yes, yes. The aggregate amount?
Yes.
Do you have a second? Moved by Mr. Weir, or seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed, and the account payable and payrolls in those amounts are hereby unanimously approved. At this time, I'd like to invite visitor and public comments for the second session of the evening. Those who wish to address the board, please address the approach the podium, and please limit your comments to 3 minutes or less after stating your name and your place of residence. Seeing none, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved
by everybody, seconded by everybody, and this hearing is, or meeting is adjourned.